And this is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The city of San Antonio just recently passed another budget without raising the tax rate. It's going to cost $2.26 billion. But there is a new fee in there that goes to support the parks, and there are some scary revelations that came up during the budget process, including that the growth of public safety spending in San Antonio could consume the entire budget in the next 20 years. To help us understand the budget process and what the future looks like, City Manager Cheryl Scully joins us. City Manager Scully, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much, Dave.
And we invite our callers to join the conversation. Our phone number is 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So, City Manager Scully, congratulations again in order for surviving, is another budget process. Is that what it's like?
A little bit, but I enjoy budgeting, and this was my eighth budget with the City Council, so it was great.
So we always hear about, this year, City Manager Scully scrubbed the budget and found savings. I should change your name to City Manager Scrubby, because you're scrubbing the budget all the time is what we're hearing. What does that mean when you scrub the budget?
Well, I think what it means, Dave, is that we're trying to bring best value to the taxpayer. So for the dollars they pay in sales tax or in property taxes to the city, we try to bring best value for the dollars. And it's a work in progress. I will say that over the past 8 years, we have reduced the general fund budget, and that's the portion of the budget that's supported by taxes and that most people think of in terms of city government. It supports public safety, street maintenance, parks and recreation, libraries, animal care services, code enforcement. And so within that budget, we've actually cut $90 million over the past 8 years, and we have fewer city positions today than we did 8 years ago. And yet, if you think about it, we have more fire stations, more libraries, we're servicing more residents in the community. So we're constantly looking at ways that we can do more with less. And we've cut now more than 1,500 general fund positions through attrition, very strategically targeting positions that we think could be eliminated. We've added 500 police and fire. That's our core service. We're a growing community, and we want to keep our response times as low as possible and within best practices. But we've cut almost 1,500 civilian positions over that time frame, and we've done that by using technology, by changing a business practice to streamline how we're going about the approvals, and some good old-fashioned house cleaning. So we rely on our employees to give us those suggestions. We rely on the residents, and we do analyses ourselves, looking at best practices elsewhere around the country.
So what about this thing that was reported that in 18 years that the growth of public safety spending could take up the entire budget? What is that?
So a couple of years ago, we looked at legacy costs, as all organizations generally do, and especially the private sector, that is pension and health care. What are those costs long-term, and what will they cost the business operation? And last year, when I presented those numbers and the growing expense, plus the fact that public safety is a bigger and bigger percentage of our general fund budget, and we highly regard and respect the work of our public safety officers. They do a great job. They have very difficult jobs. And yet it has to be affordable to the community. So it's now two-thirds of the general fund budget, more than 66%. And what will that look like in the future? So we projected out based on a set of assumptions, that is the rate of increase in the expense, the legacy costs. And I was asked last year, so when does it become 100% of the general fund? As it continues to grow. It was about 50, low 50s when I came to San Antonio 8 years ago. And that answer, based on those assumptions, is 2031. You could tweak those assumptions, and it might be 2035 or 2028.
Obviously, we've got a problem.
But the question is 100% of the general fund acceptable to the community? And I think we'd all say, of course not, because we need to have street maintenance. We need to have park maintenance. Are we going to turn off the street lights and close all the libraries? Of course not. We want a quality of life, and we need to have balance. And so that was an exercise to demonstrate that we need to get those costs under control for the long term. And I think that now that the mayor and council are in the process of appointing a legacy task force committee to take a look at those expenses, and that committee will be comprised of both labor and business people who are subject matter experts in the field of pension and or health benefits, that we actually talk about those numbers and what kinds of changes do we need to make to keep our budget balanced in the context of not just financially balanced, but with respect to the services we provide to the community, because we know that those other services are important too.
Right, but that's still going to be very tough to tackle. These are legacy costs. You said these pensions and public safety, that is something that obligations that the city has to deal with. So to a reduction of that expense, or is that the strategy to reduce the expense, or how else do you get your arms around that?
Well, there are a number of ways to go at it, and we have some examples of cities across the country that have tackled it. And you're right, it will be hard. This is not an easy task, and as I said, we highly regard the work of our public safety personnel. So there are a couple of ways, one of the first being that you could tackle it in terms of new hires, the new employees that are coming to work for the city. We have a number of public safety personnel who retire each year, who leave the organization of their own volition. And so as we replace those employees, perhaps we have another tier of benefits for those employees that are affordable for the city over the long term.
And that plays into, this is a situation you want to get ahead of as early as possible.
Yes, I think what we're saying is we pride ourselves in being regarded as a well financially managed city. And we want to stay ahead of the curve. That is, we don't want to get into a situation like some of the California cities that have severe budgetary problems, where even if they spent 100% of their general fund budgets, they wouldn't cover their expenses today, and as well as their liabilities. And so we're trying to stay ahead of it. We saw what happened to Detroit. We saw a downgrade of Chicago's general obligation bond rating, an unprecedented three-notch downgrade from fourth position to seventh position on the 10-point rating scale. We're considered AAA because we manage our finances well, and we try to anticipate and plan for the future, making some of the changes.
And San Antonio is one of the few major cities in the U.S. that has a AAA rating?
We are the only large city in the top 10 in the country that has a AAA rating by all three of the major rating agencies, Standard & Poor's, Moody's Investors, as well as Fitch Rating Services. So those three, and to use a basketball analogy, a triple-triple, but there are other cities that have one or maybe two AAAs, but not three.
Right. So it's not just a point of pride, but it also ends up saving money in the way we borrow money.
We got to take
a quick break. We're talking with Cheryl Scully, City Manager of San Antonio, talking about the budget process. Do want to hear from our callers. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In the studio with me, City Manager Cheryl Scully. We're talking about the city of San Antonio and the budget process. We need to be looking out down the road. Don't want any surprises, that could take away our AAA, triple-triple rating that we have here for the San Antonio. But in the budget process, we did hear from a couple of city council members, and they expressed that San Antonio is, quote-unquote, living beyond our means, that we're so what does that mean, or are we living beyond our means?
No, David, I don't think we are. In fact, we're looking ahead, and that's one of the reasons we're taking a look at this legacy task force and our long-term costs, not just of public safety, but even of our own civilian employees. We employ more than 11,000 people. 7,000 of those are civilian employees, 4,000 are uniform employees, police and fire. And we're taking a look at all of those costs, not trying to take anything away from them, but rather how do we manage those costs long term? We have a balanced budget. We're required by law to maintain a balanced budget. It's balanced today. It was balanced when it was proposed and will be balanced at the end of the fiscal year.
But do we have to sell city assets in this budget round? Was that part of the process in order to shore things up?
No. We did use the sale from one asset that was surplus city property as part of our revenue, but we didn't have to sell. That was something, and we're constantly looking at surplus city property. What do we need to have? What can we put back into private production in the community?
Right, and so the people who were saying that this is, you know, we're living beyond our means, is that by selling these an asset like that, you don't have that anymore. You can't sell that asset again next year, and so it's not a sustainable process. And so either we come up with something else to sell next year, or we got to make cuts, or we got to raise taxes.
Yeah, in that case, what we're doing is using those funds for our capital budget. So we're using that revenue for one-time expenses within the general fund. You're right. You don't want to use one-time revenue for recurring expenses.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got a question for City Manager Cheryl Scully about how we budget the city in San Antonio, we do want to hear from you. Let's go to Robert. Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. It's my understanding that the assessor includes in the tax bills revenues or taxes which do not accrue to the city or to the county. For example, if someone lives in a suburban city, the school taxes for that suburban city are included in its Bexar County, San Antonio tax bill. If someone lives in a Comal school district, those Comal taxes are included in the Bexar San Antonio tax bill, irrespective that those particular taxes are paid to other entities. Doesn't that give the city a false sense of its income?
Well, no, I'm not sure I entirely understand your question, but we only receive those city property tax revenues from Bexar County. So the county appraiser appraises property, assesses, and remits to the city that which we are entitled to. So whether or not they collect taxes for an adjoining school district really has...
No, they don't collect them. They show them on their billings, which with those billings being accumulated, then would give a higher, an apparent higher increase in tax revenue.
Sure, but I don't think the city is looking at what the billing is as it goes out to citizens, because the appraiser is working with all of the taxing agencies in order for efficiency and save money. You don't want to have an appraiser for every individual taxing agency district. But when you get your tax bill, it has everything all lumped together, but the city doesn't see that as their income.
Well, individual entities do have separate appraisers. Comal School District.
Well, you go by county, yeah.
And so it's just my question as to if the county is showing tax revenue, quote unquote, which is portions of which are going to other entities, doesn't the overall look at the balance sheet for both county and city have a kind of skewed amount?
No, that's not how we account for the funding. We only see those revenues that are coming to the city, and the county would only see that which is entitled to the county.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for that call, Robert. We appreciate that question. Let's go next to Bill. Bill's on the line. Bill, welcome to The Source.
Hello?
Okay, Bill. Hey, you're on the air, buddy. I guess we lost him. All right, so Bill was going to ask about collective bargaining. So I guess collective bargaining is what's going to be something that's going to be looked at going into trying to figure out what to do with our public safety expenses and trying to make sure it doesn't eat up the entire budget. Is that?
Well, both our police and fire department employees are covered by collective bargaining agreements. Both of those, the current contracts, expire in September of 2014. And so we'll be talking with them beginning in the spring of 2014.
Now, we're going to see a dollar fee assessed for environmental uses or for the parks. How does that work?
So what the council considered and was approved by the council in the budget adoption is a $1 per month fee that is added to the environmental charge, and this will be devoted to parks maintenance. So under statute, the city can assess a fee for parks maintenance. We have parks maintenance expenses totaling about $15 million, and this $1 charge per month per bill will generate about $6.6 million, and we'll devote those monies to parks maintenance. And that allows us to reinstate some of the cuts that were included in the proposed budget. So when the council has a goal-setting session, as we did in June, they establish overall priorities. They said that we wanted to maintain the levels of police and fire personnel. They did not want to increase the city property tax rate, as we have not done for 20 years. Assessments have gone up based on increased valuation, but we have not increased our city rate. In contrast, the city of Austin, for example, has raised not only values, but also their rate for five consecutive years to be able to keep their budget balanced. We have not. In fact, we've lowered the city rate three times in the past 8 years. But having said that, public safety represents two-thirds of the budget. So when we don't cut that, we have one-third of the budget then to make the reductions. And when the council said they did not want to raise property taxes, but wanted to keep public safety personnel intact, we had to look at some of the other areas of the budget. The two next largest areas are street maintenance and parks and recreation. So we had proposed some cuts because revenues were not growing this year as fast as some of the expenses. But this fee will allow us to reinstate those cuts, including some of the library hours that had been proposed to be reduced.
So where will this fee show up? How will I end up paying that fee?
This fee shows up on your CPS bill, and it's under the line of environmental fee, and that will go up by $1 per month.
And are we paying an environmental fee now, or is this a new fee that exists?
There is an environmental fee today, so it will represent a $1 increase on the fee. Today, it is less than 50 cents, and so it will go up in this year's budget.
So when you mentioned earlier that there was a proposal to cut library hours in San Antonio, and now that is not going to happen, and we did have a program on that on the source when that was proposed. We heard from a lot of citizens who said they did not want to see that happen, and it's my understanding they were also very vocal at many of the budget hearing sessions that we had around San Antonio. Was that something that you heard quite a bit, that people wanted the libraries protected?
Yes, it was something that we heard. We did budget hearings in all 10 of the council districts, five in June before I proposed the budget to get citizen input, and then five after the budget was proposed. And we heard from many residents in the community they did not want to see library hours reduced. I didn't want to recommend a reduction in library hours either, but we're required to have a balanced budget. And when public safety represents two-thirds of the budget and you can't touch it, that means all the cuts have to come in other areas. So it was a combination of administrative reductions, of some parks reductions, a little bit on library hours, but we were able to reinstate those in the finally adopted budget by the council. The council and the community said, let's do our very best to try to restore that and maintain our library hours as they are today.
So it was great to see the support for keeping the libraries in full force and not reducing their availability. I mean, and some people, they had came up with the conspiracy theory that immediately when you guys come up with a budget shortfall, you throw things out there like cut back libraries because you know that the citizens will rally to their defense and they'll support other measures like increasing a dollar fee, that if that was their first opening bid, we're going to increase a fee, a dollar, and then to keep the libraries open, but by showing people this other route, you create support for the fee. It's not so. Is that what happens? Is that what works?
No. As a matter of fact, as I said earlier in the program, we've actually cut 1,500 positions over the past 8 years, and that's primarily been in the administrative areas. So we try to make the cuts first in those areas that do not impact service delivery, because we don't want to reduce our parks maintenance. In fact, I'd like to see it increased. We need to do more. We have more acreage to maintain with our new linear creek system, more acreage of parks. So we don't want
money.
And it takes money to do that.
I want to get a quick caller in. We're almost out of time. But, Bill, this is a different Bill. And, Bill, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks. The quarter-cent tax that we're using for the pre-K for SA, once that's paid for, can that any of those funds be used to help cover some of these expenses for the city?
That's an eighth of a cent sales tax. Bill, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's get City Manager Cheryl Scully on that.
Not without voter approval. So that was an eight-year tax that was approved for the pre-K for SA program, one-eighth cent annually. And that generates approximately $30 million a year. The voters approved that for an eight-year period, and when that expires, then it will be up to the mayor and council and community to decide whether or not that program continues or whether or not those funds be used for other city services.
But this was a dedicated process. We had a city vote. Has to be used for pre-K, for SA. Nothing else can be used.
That's correct.
And there's a lot of things like that, like the hotel motel fund, things
that's
that are going to raise dedicated, can't be moved around.
Propositions 1 and 2 for the Linear Creeks and the Edwards Aquifer Protection. So we do have a few of those.
Advanced Transportation
District.
Correct. And so just real quickly, going back to this thing about the public safety and the expense and how it's growing, we got 18 years to get that under control. Is this a big problem, a manageable problem? Just got to keep our eye on it. How bad is that?
I think it's manageable, David. And I think the Legacy Task Force will look at the numbers. We have a balanced task force of both labor and business representation, and I think they'll study the numbers and make recommendations to the mayor and council on where they think the city needs to make changes to keep us financially sound.
And the other players, like the city, like the fire department and the police officers association, will try and come up with a good solution amiable to everyone.
I think we'll all do that together.
City Manager Cheryl Scully, thank you so much for being here. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back after the NPR news.